Gracious Heavenly Father, we so appreciate the love that you have shown unto us. Whenever we could come and stand in your divine presence, just mention the name of Jesus Christ, feel that sweet peace, Lord, just move through our souls, move through our entire beings, to know, Lord, that we have been redeemed. You have saved us from our sins. You set us in the path of righteousness. You're here leading and directing our paths, Lord, day by day. Oh, what a blessing it is to walk with you, Lord. And as we have come into your house and gathered in your name to worship you, Lord, we just pray that your Holy Spirit today, Lord God, would meet with us in a special way. We come confessing our sins, our shortcomings, our mistakes, our failures, where we are failure, Lord, in thought, in word, and in deed, all our transgressions, blood or iniquity, Lord. Pardon our sins, we pray. Oh God, we believe in the blood, in the power of that blood, Father. Lord God, we come confessing our sins before you, asking you to blot it out, Lord. You said, though our sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though it be red as wool, it shall be white as wool. Oh God, we thank you, Father, that you have a bleach providing an atonement. Lord God, to loose us from these things, that we could come without condemnation. Oh, we could come with faith. We could come with a divine revelation of our hearts. We could come with understanding, Lord. Lord, we could come knowing, dear God, you would respond to our faith. The faith that you have given unto us by showing us how complete the work that you've done for us was, Lord. To show you rose for our justification. That we could stand, Lord, and we could draw nigh unto you, having the peace of God in our hearts, Lord. Blessed be your name. We pray, dear God, your divine presence, as you said you would do, that if we draw nigh unto you, you will draw near unto us. Lord, we'll feel your nearness. We'll feel the nearness of your Holy Spirit when we sing your songs. Lord, when we worship you, when we mention your name, oh God, we'll feel the floods of joy coming into our soul, Lord. And Lord God, may you just lift us up into that place until we all in that come to that level, Lord, until we all come into that bracket, Lord, where we can feel the Holy Ghost pouring in, moving, Lord, taking full control of our hearts and our lives, where we can be so settled and established in your word, so locked in that channel, Father, Lord, where your word can just go to operating inside of us, Lord, where every thought, every word, every deed, every action, Lord, will be a reflection of you. Hallelujah. That, Lord, the light could shine bright and other men could see the works, Lord, and glorify you. Oh, blessed be your name, Father. We pray you'd bless us today as we come and gather in your presence. We pray that God, you would just speak to our hearts and you would meet the needs of our lives. You know we are hungry, Lord. You know that's why we are gathered. You know, oh God, in the depths of our soul, there's a cry for more of thee. Lord, you know these things, Lord, because we know that you know all things. We know, Lord, you know the thoughts and the intents of their heart. And we know you know our very motives, oh God. While we lay aside of your weight and the sin that so easily beset us and join nigh unto you, Lord, and stand in here waiting, oh God, the Lord, you would meet every need that we have, Father, because you know we believe that you can do it, that you have already done it. Lord, when Jesus Christ died for us on the cross, and oh God, that's where we place our faith. In that perfect sacrifice. That's where we identify ourselves. That's where we stand in your presence, Lord. Oh, God, believing, Lord, that you would meet every need amongst us today and that you'd bless every heart, Lord. And, Lord God, we leave you satisfied, assured, encouraged, strengthened. Oh, God, working closer to thee, Father. Lord God, more strengthened in the inner man. Granted, oh, God, we pray. We just commit this service now into your hands. Asking divine leading direction in all that we'll say and do. And may you get honor and glory, for we ask it in Jesus' precious name and for his sake. Amen. Can we all say amen? Amen. My faith looks up to thee, thou Lamb of Calvary, Savior divine. Now hear me while I pray. Take all my sins away, and oh, let me from this day be wholly thine. Sing, just get into his presence, that's why you come. Somebody driving on fire, you'll be beside the housework. You just come here, you can just be more in His presence. You see the need for more from your lives. How God have met with us and dealt with us in these services. And we're so looking forward that you will meet with us again today by His grace. Just touch us in the tender place of our lives, in the places where they may be weak, in the places that need strengthening, the places that the enemy may have a hold on us. Right there, He will touch us in those places. Loose us, we can feel that deliverance working inside of us. Amen. My faith looks up to Thee. Thou Lamb of Calvary, Savior divine, now hear me while I pray. Lord, may Thy rich grace and power all strength to my fainting heart, to my faith, all my zeal for You, Lord, inspire. Zeal inspire, as Thou hast died for me, as Thou hast died for me. Oh, may my love to Thee pure and changeless be. Alleluia. While I've got me, I tread. Life's dark maze I tread. Oh, and grief's around me spell. Grief around me spread. Oh, be Thou my guide. My guide, amen. My guide. Oh, be darkness turned today, Lord. Darkness turned today. Wipe sorrow, tears away. Sorrow's tears away. No, let me ever stray from Thee. Oh, one more time. I faith to be lift our hands and sing it. Faith, let your faith really look up. Is your faith looking up? Oh, Thou Lamb of Calvary, the perfect sacrifice. He became us so we can become Him. Savior, divine. Oh, Lord, now hear us while we pray. Your air be attentive unto our supplication. Oh, may it come right up into your heart, Lord, our prayer this morning. Oh, my sin away. No, let me from this day. Nothing of our own, Father, but fully surrendered unto you, body, spirit, and soul. All that we have and all that we are, we are bringing, Lord, and laying at the foot of the cross. Oh, God, praying that our will, but thy will be done. Oh, may you grant it, Lord. Blessed be your name, Father. Blessed be your wonderful name. With hungry hearts, aching hearts, Lord, we draw close to be filled with thee. Oh, blessed be your name, Lord. Blessed be your name. Blessed be your name. Glory and praise be unto your name, Father. Oh, God, have you just empty us out, Lord, and just fill us. Oh, God, with our being, with our presence, Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to your name. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Amen.
Amen. Just one more. All to Jesus I surrender, all to him I freely give. When we sing these songs, let's sing it with a real sincerity of worship. Let's not just sing this song and then we can't worship him. Let's worship this song. Let's sing it from the depths of our hearts. Otherwise, our coming here is in vain. If we don't come here to enter into the inner veil, is in vain. We could stay home and do our housework and pray in our own closet. If we come here, let us come with purpose. Let us come with the goal fixed before us. Let us come wanting to be nothing. Let us come with a desire that God can look in our hearts and see it would not be lip service. Let us come where we can just forget ourselves and just interact with His presence. It's the only time you receive anything. It's the only time you have the witness in your heart that God will hear your prayer. You will break through the veil. May we enter into that place. Let's lay everything aside by the grace of God. Don't be too anxious, don't be too worried. We're meeting here with God by a divine promise. A promise that He has given unto us to meet with us. We are meeting with Him on the conditions that He requires for us to meet with Him. We're not hoping that He come and begging that He come. We come in our heart purpose to meet that requirement. To stand in the place He wants us to stand. To stand in the attitude He wants us to stand. To stand with the sincerity He wants us to stand. And we know He will be there with us. Because that is what He promised to do. With faith, believing that He's true to His word. All to Jesus I surrender. God can never stay away from a surrendered heart. The Spirit of God can never stay away from a surrendered life. It's impossible. He cannot do it. And that's why He makes up people to surrender, to let go. And that's why He can come in them, and in every age He fulfilled His word. Because He predestinated people to surrender to His word. And that's why we can come and just surrender and let go. Because we don't want to live for ourselves. It's vain. It produces nothing but shame and things that pass away so quickly. Just all our efforts is just futile. The only thing that's going to last is what we do for Him. And that's why we want to come and just surrender. And if He take your lips, He can say something worthy. Something that can last, something that can save a life. If you take your hands, He can help somebody, or really encourage your life and bring deliverance to a person. And you can lay them hands on a sick and see them recover. If you take those feet, He can walk in such a way and leave footprints that others who might be falling could look and take hope and walk in those same footprints. He can take your heart and believe His word and speak and watch a mountain pass away, be removed. Amen. Think of what God can do. We can just surrender what we have unto Him. And with that purpose in our hearts, with that understanding, let's just enter right in and sing it with real sincerity, real meaning, real purpose in our hearts. All to Jesus I surrender. All to Him I freely give.
All to Jesus I surrender all to Him. I will ever love and trust him. I will ever love and trust him in his presence daily live. I surrender. I surrender. I surrender all. Oh yes, Lord, all to Thee, my blessed Savior. I surrender all to Jesus. I surrender. Humbly at his feet I bow. To Jesus I surrender. Humbly at his feet I bow. Worldly pleasures all forsaken, every one of them. Oh, laid aside. Is dead to hold on to it. Oh, see, oh, take me, Jesus, take me now. Me, Jesus, take me now. I surrender all. I surrender. Oh, mean it from the depths of your heart. All to Thee, all to Thee, my blessed Savior, I surrender. All to Jesus I surrender, Lord, I give myself to Thee. To Jesus I surrender, Lord, I give my to Thee. Fill me with Thy love and power. Be with Thy love. Oh, love that could calm a raging bull, hate you, love your greatest enemy. And that hate you, despitefully use you. Oh my, that's the love we want. Let's surrender. He'll give it to us. He'll shed it abroad in your heart. Oh, I surrender. Yes, Lord. All to Thee, my blessed Savior, I surrender all. Amen. Yes, Lord. All we have, we lay down our head, our feet, our inwards, our fat on your altar. Surrender it all to Thee unreservedly. You be Lord of all the kingdoms of our hearts. Nothing we are holding on to, Lord, save Your word You've given unto us. Save that cross, the crucified one. Oh God. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, precious Lord. Amen. We want to read in St. John.
verse 15. You know, I've been taking these services, showing that how God promised the Holy Spirit way back in the Old Testament. How I've been to come down, then Jesus came as the first one, being to teach on how to receive it, where He's going to place the believer, all these things. And here's one of the places in St. John Gospel where He was teaching again on this great promise, what it's going to do when it dwells inside the believer. And this morning we want to look a little more at the purpose is given for. Last week we were taking the pattern of experience that has always been the same, how everyone in every age when they receive it, there is a divine pattern. The pattern is still the same. It will always be, always was. The prophet says always will be that way. St. John 14, verse 15. If you love me, you love him this morning? Keep my commandments. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. So you see, to receive it, you have to see him, you have to know him. This is to understand. Unless your heart is not set, you say, how you will know you receive what you're supposed to receive? If you don't know what results it brings, how are you going to know he's doing the work he was sent to do in your life? But you know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more. But you see me, because I live, you shall live also. He wasn't speaking to some physically dead people. He was speaking to people who really was manifesting eternal life. Because it was two living people talking. As far as the human level of life, human form of life. But the life he was talking about was God's own life. You shall live also, because they were still yet dead. And he was waking them up spiritually to let them receive the life that made him live to please the Father. The Father never told them, you know, this is my beloved Son whom I'm pleased to dwell in. But the Father said of him, this is my beloved Son whom I'm pleased to dwell in. He was the only one who could pray, I do those things always that please my Father. That's the life that he wants to come inside of us. That same harmony between the Father and the Son could be here between the bridegroom and the bride. At that day, you shall know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. He that keepeth my commandments, he that hath my commandments keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him, and will manifest myself to him. You know, we all say we love him, but he says, the one that really loves me is the one that is keeping my commandments. It's when he approves that we love him, not when we say we love him. That's why in the last age when he comes, he says, as many as I love, not as many as love me, as many as I love. Amen. So you know, it's not we love Jesus, we love Jesus. It's when Jesus says, you love me, I see you love me. I see you put nothing before me. I see you willing to lay your life for me. I see when I rebuke you and chasten you. Amen. You bring forth peaceable fruit unto righteousness because you're not a bastard. Amen. You're not illegitimate. You see? Judas said unto him, not Iscariot,
Lord, how is it that thou wilt manifest thyself unto us and not unto the world? Jesus answered and said unto him, If a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. The Spirit and the Word. See, Jesus is the Word. The Father, the Spirit. The Spirit and the Word would be in your life, abiding in you. He that loveth me not, keepeth not my sayings. And the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father who sent me. These things have I spoken unto you, being present with you. But the Comforter, who is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name. He's coming, but he's going to come in his name. And that's part of the pattern, how he's taking it last week. How you come and be identified with that name and these things. He shall teach you all things, and he shall bring all things to your remembrance, whatever I have said unto you. Amen. And maybe, let me just read one more. John 15, 26. Now watch everything that Spirit is coming to do now. That's important. Jesus is saying what the Spirit is coming to do. He knew what man lacked. He knew what he had that man didn't have. He knew what he came to make available to man. And he knew when his Spirit comes in man, it will make them live like he was living. And he knew what the life that was in him, how it kept him with the Word, how it kept him in the Word, how it kept him pleasing the Father, how it kept him knowing good from evil. He knew when that Spirit came in them, which is his very own Spirit, it was going to do the same thing inside of them, because it wouldn't change its nature. St. John 15:26. But when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth. And he's keep calling that Spirit that is coming, the Spirit of truth. Spirit of truth. The Comforter. Who proceeded from the Father, he shall testify of me. He's not going to glorify a man. They're going to testify of Jesus. And Jesus is the Word. And you also shall be a witness, because you have been with me from the beginning. And then verse 7, St. John 16. Because St. John 14, 17, he was really teaching about the Holy Spirit, the life and all these things. But I'm just picking out where he identified the purpose for the coming of the Holy Spirit, which came in Acts 2. But here beforehand, he had to teach them what is going to come for, so when they get in Acts 2, they will know they get what he see was coming. That's why it took Peter back to the Word. Because Jesus said, when he come. That's why it testifies, hey, they were preaching in his name. They were testifying, you kill the prince alive. It was bringing back those things. You see, he wasn't pointing somewhere else, right there. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he's come, he will reprove the world of sin, and of righteousness, and of judgment. Of sin, because they believe not in me. Always, when he comes. Where man have failed is because they have failed to accept what God has sent forth in every age. That's where man missed the mark. Not how good they live. Now, how much things do I pour to give your body to be burned, give your goods to feed the poor, do all these different things? It's right there when that word comes. See? Not to be ashamed of it, to step forward, to receive it, to be identified with it. You're going to see that. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father and you see me no more. Of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. I have yet many things to
concern to you, but you cannot bear them now. Nevertheless, when He, the Spirit of truth, is come, He will guide you into all truth. For He shall not speak of Himself, but whatever He shall hear, that shall He speak. And He will show things to come. Prophecy. Prophecy. Things to come. It's already in the written in the Word. Because you can't add to the Word. The Word already speaks about the New Jerusalem quite long. It speaks about the millennium, all those things. It speaks about the second resurrection, all those things. It's already spoken of. See, it speaks of the transition, the change of body. Things to come. But when those things come, if you don't have the Holy Spirit, it could pass right through you and you'll never recognize it. But it's going to show things to come. It could tell you it is coming before it arrives. And then you could be ready for it when it comes. See? Having the Holy Spirit in your life, you always move with God's word in season. See? He shall glorify me, for He shall receive of mine and shall show it unto you. All things that the Father hath are mine. Therefore said I that He shall take of mine and shall show it unto you. You may have a seat. May God bless you with His word. Amen. What is the Holy Ghost? Page 7. And now the reason I have taken this subject like in line like this. You cannot come and receive the Holy Spirit unless you know what it is. Just recapping some of the things. And you can't receive it if you know what it is unless you believe it's given to you. And it's for you. And that is why when I take the scripture here and read it, you see Jesus actually saying it's going to come to you. God is going to give it to you. You see? And then you look in the Word and you see it came on the day of Pentecost and there is no two comings of the Spirit because it never went back. It's here called out a Gentile church that was going to take 7 ages to call out. As the scripture in 2 Thessalonians 2 says, He that letteth will let. Is that right? Until it be taken out of the way. That means that Holy Spirit is going to be here among the Gentiles until it go back to the Jews. While he's among the Gentiles, what he's doing is calling out a bride out of the Gentiles. And that real purpose is going to unfold through 7 men who would be the bright light in each of those 7 ages. And that light is going to keep on spreading even where those men don't go, because the light would be spread through the ministry of others who are faithfully taught. It is the light that is spreading. And He Himself is the light. And He comes and reveals Himself to the man in the age. And that man brings forth that revelation of Him. That's why in each he says, I am He who holds the 7 stars. I am He who was dead but now is alive. What is He doing? He's bringing the revelation of Himself to the angel of the age. No angel of each age is going to preach unless he reveals himself to him first. They have no message. But when he comes, he reveals himself to him. And from the time he gives the revelation to that angel, then he begins to move through the ministry of that angel to hunt out his own elect, who he put in that age. He'll have an ear to hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. My sheep will hear my voice. So he's not the messenger no more, because once he reveals himself to the messenger becomes an agent, a channel that he himself is calling, because his voice speaking through the messenger in that age. And then when that happens, then he moves right down, and seeing that in that age, the light is going to come from one place. Maybe from England, maybe from Germany, maybe from America. Like it came in Germany, Luther, came in England, Wesley, came in America, started off in Jerusalem with Paul, went into France, with Irenaeus and Martin, then went into Europe with Columba, then it went into Germany, then from Germany it was crossing the Mediterranean, because Paul, that's where Paul traveled most of his journeys, in the Mediterranean Sea,
They come over into the cross the Atlantic, come over into the English sea there. Then they come over, right over into the west. Then you're going to cross the Pacific Ocean, go back east. Because the further west you go back east. That's why it's going back, you see. But with the Holy Spirit who come on the day of Pentecost, then pick up through Paul and begin to come across the world with those messengers. And then God, as we took, you know how he had different men who was ordained to see the messenger in their age. And from the time they saw the messenger in their age, then God is bringing them to the place where they too was going to receive the revelation of Jesus Christ. And then from the time God began to gather those sheep who met the messenger directly and who never met the messenger, but coming by the light that came to the messenger and the light that spread through the path of others, that word is a light unto their feet also. Is a lamp unto their pathway also. And the entrance of that word giveth them light. And begin to lighten up their lives too and make them children of light. That they can walk in the light as he's in the light. And they have a more sure word of prophecy in their age when that truth has been revealed. Instead of holding on to a past age, they've seen what God is doing in their age. And it's like a light that shines in a dark place. And in each age, they come out by the gospel light. But that light, it takes light to bring life. And that light comes and shines in that seed there. What is the Holy Spirit? He is the light. In him is life, and his life is the light of men. See? Because that word is already inside of you. It's written here in the Bible, but the word is in you. That's the real word. The Bible is only a record. This could burn and throw away, but the word in you could never pass away. All in the millennium, we got people walking with Bibles in New City. Everybody have the Bible. I'm going to pick up the Bible. We don't have that. See, this is what man put to show the program of God. But what they spoke of will be standing there in the New City. All from Abraham, all them, Noah, all them will be there. So you got to go and read the Bible, read about Noah. Say, Noah, you speak, Noah. Testify. Testify, Abraham, speak. Then the world will be speaking. So this is only a written record. But this is the expression of God's thoughts. But God's thoughts were eternal. But God put it in paper so man could read, because the only way man would have found out what God was thinking. A man couldn't discern God's heart. But when God expressed his thought as word, man could read it. But God's thoughts wasn't to come on paper. God's thoughts would be expressed in flesh in the designated season. But he put in paper so you could know what he's going to put in flesh. So even though you don't live in a certain country, you can read by the word of God that is going to happen there. That is going to happen there. Israel going back into their homeland. Israel going to receive the Messiah. Israel going to get the Holy Ghost. You can read that, but you may not be around the 140,000 there while they get there. You could be up in glory. You see? So then, the real word is the word inside of you. Then what comes to that word is the Spirit. When that Spirit comes to that word, then you understand this written word. And when you understand this written word, it is yourself being revealed. You know what I'm saying? That's why you have to be confused with the Holy Spirit. He is coming. The word is already inside of you. That's why you was not saved no certain day. That's why you was always saved. You didn't come seeking salvation as an elect. You come seeking redemption. The blood was shed for you and the Holy Ghost came to claim those the blood was shed for. It's only so much people is under the blood. When the last one is splashed in the blood, it has no more blood. That's why it's an everlasting covenant, not an eternal covenant. See? The blood was shed just for so much people. If I can the token, the message of the token. It says an everlasting covenant. Hebrews 13, I think 20.
So it's gonna, that covenant is going to cease one day. That covenant was just made to redeem the amount of members that was going to make up the bride of Jesus Christ. And that's why only the elect of God in each age is the ones born again and have eternal life in the age that they are living in. The foolish virgins believe the message but don't have eternal life. That's why the bride hearing with an ability that they can't hear with. Do it together. And let me tell you, some strange, strange things can happen there. That's why they're good in morality. You have a foolish virgin coming right there. Maybe you never have a moral sin yet. Never drink and smoke. And you have an elect drink, smoke, arousing the world and coming. God quicken them and save them because they already have eternal life. This one, both called by the same message. 10 virgins come out, both sanctified, one born again, and this one look as well. I never know that thing right in the bride yet. You know what I'm saying? It's the seed God is dealing with. Romans 9. Esau have I hated, Jacob have I loved, before they were born, that the purpose of God according to election might stand. That not of him that work, but of him that call it. See? And that's why, as an elect of God, you don't take that lightly. That's why when people say, Isaac, and you know, they go and they live in your carefree, responsible, and very dedicated world, you know that you know that it's something else. They haven't caught it. Just the revelation to know what elect means. Just the quality that separates elect from non-elect is God Himself. Zoe. Let me tell you, look at this. There's only one form of eternal life. You believe that? You don't know two forms. Is the Holy Spirit coming there, Pentecost, different to eternal life? Can't be. Then if you had eternal life when you were born and coming this world laying inside of you, and that is the same as the Holy Spirit, wouldn't that be part of the Holy Spirit? Sure. But it's laying there dormant because you could have two natures in one body, but you cannot have two bodies at one time. See? We are triune being. See? But you see, here, you're not in that theophany yet. And so I get a certain experience, then you get confused. But remember, only elect is really born again. Only elect could be converted by the baptism. The rain fall on the just and the unjust. The rain fall on the wheat and the tares. But the rain don't make the wheat wheat. The wheat is wheat to begin with. God in the beginning decreed it to be a wheat. God decreed the sheep to be a sheep. It's not a goat that's turned into a sheep. The eagle was an eagle from the egg. So, that's why I said life connects with life. Part of himself laying in you, there in seed form. See, you have two natures in one body, but only one is alive because you can't have two living husbands. And the husband, the nature that rule you, is the one that come by your first birth, by sex. And God comes to kill that nature. When that nature dies, when you surrender yourself to the word, when you begin to get that crave, that nature begin to call, that deep begin to call for the deep, the other deep, which is the Holy Spirit. And you begin to cater to the other nature. See? You begin to cater to the Holy Spirit that is calling. You begin to cater to that nature that is calling for God, that wants to find out who you are and where you come from. Then what happens? As you begin to cater to that nature, then God begins to do a work of bringing a death to that first nature. But you see, you go along for many, many years sometimes before you really begin to cater to that nature. But you only kill it when God begin to come close and begin to attract that nature. But because you're unconscious, you ain't taught the word of God because that first nature couldn't know the word of God.
You don't know that God drawing near, and that's why you're getting that experience. You don't know that God is calling you. That's why some people say, I'm going to have a funny experience, but I believe I can know them. I believe I can talk to them and say, I realize what they're going through. They want to hear about the Lord. They're hungry for the things of the Lord. Any little book they see with anything about Christianity or God or where they come from, they want to pick it up and read. They're hungry for the word. You see, before they might want to look at this and look at that, some worldly thing, but it seems to have no pull on them after time. Because why? No man can come except the Father draws him. Is he coming down to begin to say, I'm going to take you now because I have need of you now? Like the donkey was tied up, but he was going to go into Jerusalem, but that's the time that he needed a donkey. He didn't need a donkey when he was born. He didn't need a donkey when he was baptized. He needed a donkey at that time. So that is the time the donkey was going to come in to fulfill his purpose. That's the purpose he was born for the Lord to ride him in, to fulfill the scripture. But he's tied up, like we were tied up in the world. Like donkeys are tied of a sinner there, you see? And he says, loose him. And if any man asks where you're going, say, the Lord have need of him. That's exactly what it was. When we were tied up in sin there, then he had need of us. Now he needs us to do the work now. See? That's why I said, today if you hear his voice, harden not your heart. That's why you don't come when you want, you come when he calls you. Because you are the called according to God's purpose. And many times God is calling somebody and you find they may be a little rebellious to the call. What do you think happens? Circumstances begin to come in life. And that's not just calling to serve. That is as he calls you on further, to walk further. As he calls you on to greater separation. As he calls you on to a more responsibility. Always. Because that call keeps coming until that purpose is fulfilled. Then you fulfill your calling. You see? Otherwise you have to live under the inspiration of your calling. Last night we were just sharing something with the saints there. And, you know, I was showing them and says, look when God, Moses in the pillar of fire. And get that presence. That light. But that light was God himself. Was the Holy Spirit. We're going to call it a baptism. It didn't come back there. When we refer to the baptism of the church becoming part of the body, being baptized into the body, because he's building a body now of Gentile members. But that was God all the way down through. You know what I'm saying? Sure. But it wasn't called a baptism because it wasn't the body of Christ. They're being built as a church. It wasn't that dispensation yet. Only as the same God. God above us, God with us, God in us. Then God is above him. Then God come with him. Then God went in him. And when Moses in that fire, just like, remember a tongue of fire come upon him in the upper room. Here is all the fire. Moses was in that fire. And while he was in that fire, if that is the comforter, if that is the spirit of truth, it will have to do to Moses exactly when it comes to living a man, the same thing. What did it do to Moses? It spoke the word to him. Is that right? Went right to the prophecy. Begin to reveal to Moses his place in God's economy for that day. And what God revealed to him? He says, look, I am sending you to deliver them, and you're going to bring them back right in this holy mountain. And in that fire, caught up there, in that where that revelation being revealed in his heart, God's word that was laying there began to come alive to him. He was already and went to Egypt and bring the people back on the mountain, as far as God's purpose is concerned. And he could say, well, I born in that bondage. I know there for 400 years. I kill a man on the run because I know how strong them Egyptians is. I can stay around. They gave me for sure. I know the power and the might of them soldiers. I know the army. I trained them myself. I know the kind of artillery they have. I know the hardness of the Egyptians heart. I know how to deal with the enemies who come against them. But right there's one man. When God was speaking to him and say, I'm sending you.
You're going to bring them out, and you're going to bring them right back here on this mountain. He didn't leave the mountain yet, but God is then telling him, you'll be back on this mountain another day again. A day that come, you'll be on this mountain again, and you'll be standing here not by yourself, with a bunch of sheep down there. Them sheep will be all the people in Israel down there, who in that bondage, like a train up here, all will be here by this mountain. My. If they're going to take you 100 years, you're going to be here. However long I going to determine it will take you, I'm going to preserve until all them people down there. Because in my purpose, those people down there, and when you hear in Egypt down there, ain't got no more Egypt. Ain't got no more slave down there. At least not my people, ain't be no more slave down there. When Jesus say that where I am, there you shall be with me also. You could imagine if those children of Israel at the same time, maybe could have given a vision and see Moses talking with God on the mountain. Hearing what God telling Moses. And they in the bondage. This is us God talking about. He's coming to get us. We get out of here. Let me tell you, them burdens there would have been lifted. And when you see in this day, prophet God meet with him on a mountain, when he tried to run away, God said, you think your life is for yourself? I and my people all out there in bondage. And you have to speak the message to get them out. You have to take that rod in your hand and go and get them. He said, look, you're going back. Whether you like it or not. I'm going to make you a bomb. I'm going to break up your home. Let me tell you right now. I'm going to make it so uncomfortable for you until you fulfill it. So if you want a lot of licks to do it, or you want to go and do it in obedience quickly, it could be done anyhow. He said, Lord, I'm reporting for you here. Servant is reporting for duty. Here I go. Amen. That's it. And then when he came, he had to speak it to let us know. Because he says, Moses said, Lord, when I go, what am I going to tell them? They won't know who sent me. He said, go and tell them and meet me on the mountain. Tell them and meet me in a pillar of fire. I will be there to vindicate you. I'll give you these signs. You will see the signs. They'll know I sent you. And God do that in the Bible and put it in the Bible. And then send a man with the same prophet like Moses. Two signs like Moses. Call an Exodus like Moses. Is that right? All these things. Pillar of fire and cloud like Moses. Everything. And send back to our people here in a different type of bondage, just like they was in bondage. And hearing God say, where I am, they shall be with me also. In my Father's house are many mansions. I ain't taking them from here to put them in America to live, put them in the next land to live. I'm taking them where I am, there they shall be also. Taking them to a theophany, amen. Where there's no more joy, no more sorrow rather, no more pain, no more sickness, no more death, no more suffering, no more yesterday, no more tomorrow. I'm taking them there. That he even showed the prophet the place he's taking us. Let him go in there and say, how you feel inside of here? Good? Amen. So go and tell them what it is like. Tell them what they're coming to. Tell them that one written here for them. Each man have their own portion. An inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that fadeth not away. Tell them you see it. And tell them they have their portion every man. No man can take nobody's place. They have their place here. They're coming right to the theophany. March them with the word. Exactly. That's why you're coming. You see? When we look and we see the coming of the Holy Spirit, what it is, how that light comes, how that light comes to you, that spirit of truth, what it begins to reveal to you, that seed was laid inside of there, God real seed. The seed that could be transformed and produced what the Bible talking about. Already resident inside of you. The things that make you crave for God, the things that make you can't fit in with this world. The things that make you find comfort in this world and something cleaves to it and becomes into a bond with it that can't be separated. You know why? Because this word here is the very nourishment for that seed inside of you. Nothing else can nourish it. God designed people and God gave them a word to speak and it make you up a certain way that cleave like that and could never let go once it comes to you. And when that begins to happen to you, it's because we lack the understanding. All the Spirit is giving us is the understanding. Many times you have the experience, but you don't have the understanding of your experience. And the devil robs you and confuses you when you bring another understanding that seems different to your experience. An understanding that don't prove to you that your experience is already the word. Faith is when God proves to you your experience is the word. That you never even knew the word, but you went through that. And when the word is spoken, you said, that's what I went through. And you never planned that what you went through. It just happened. It was ordained. You had your own better way to bypass it. But God passed you through there. Then you see the words of the footsteps of the righteous order of the Lord. So he direct your steps. It's not within man to direct his own steps. God direct his steps. And why did he direct his steps? He wanted you to be confronted there. He wanted you to get that experience here. He wanted you to taste that suffering there. He wanted you to experience that revelation there. He wanted you to know him in his power over there. Sure, you want to know what pain and hate and all these things are, and what love is, how much more powerful love is than hate. Sure, you leave you bitter with hate and fear. You're born there as a coward and you're fearful and you're resentment and hate and these things. And then he comes and he put love inside of there and remove the hate. Amen. And then you can love somebody and say, my, this is different. Amen. See? And then you have fear. He take it and he give you courage and faith. And he said, my, they're different. See, he's taking that out and putting his own life in. You see? I should say, since they're talking in this vein, I should say, quickening his life that's inside you, bringing his life out of you. You see? And when that begins to come out, then, you see, if you don't know, now if you go through that experience, the experience of his word, and then you try to read Acts 2 and sit on a room, I ain't sitting on a room and from fire over my head, you get confused. You don't know if you get that or if you have this or what's going on. So you don't know where you stand. But you see, his life can only be really expressed and unfold and reveal this word and begin to teach you his ways when that seed is really quickened. And that's what it takes the baptism of the Holy Spirit to do. It's coming just to quicken that seed inside of you. And that seed inside of you is the very same word for your age that you live in. That is why the first thing it drives you to is that word for your age. It's the things that God is doing in this hour. It's the things that you ordain to be a part of. And let me tell you, it's like a dream. You see when you're dreaming in the night? You'd be in places you didn't plan to go when you was awake. You know what I'm saying? You'd be wearing clothes and you'd be having conversation with people and you'd be seeing things and you'd be moving on in a dream and you didn't make them decisions to go there. Well, your life here in the conscious realm is like that. But because you're in the conscious realm and what you'd call awake, you see, because you're not sleeping, which is the first conscious, then, you know, you think, well, I think I'm going to go down the road this morning. I think I'm going to do that this morning. Oh, yeah, you're making a choice because you have chosen the harder way. You're making a choice. You're a free moral agent. But the influence that influences the choice you make is God. Because he directs your footsteps. And even so when you think you want to do this, he says, no, you're doing this. See? God, they're like two wills inside of there. Two influences. You're just an agent. You see? And you see a white dog and a black dog. Or you're trying to keep the two. It's two powers, only two powers, only two trees. See? But then when it begins to unfold to you, you realize, my, that's exactly the truth. I didn't choose to be this. Had you had your own way, you want to be something else. But then when you begin to see those things, you begin to realize there is a sovereign purpose that overshadows your life. There is something that you're born and fits into, and you have no control over it. You think you have control of it, but he brings you right where he wants you. He works in circumstances. You could have plans now and set to do it. All God has to do is just, God can break up your plans like that. And your plans are finished. You want to get married, son? God take the person who's in death strike. What are you going to do? Raise them up and marry them? We get power to raise them up from. Sure. I read a nurse there, you know, attended to some patient, and something blew up and the blood, the patient splat over the nurse, get into her eyes. Patient had AIDS, she ended up with AIDS. Here the woman tried to live a clean life and be a husband, a family, do everything. End up with AIDS. Dying. No, she could come back. If God don't move in there. Sure. It was in the papers a couple days ago. So when you look and you see those things, you realize that they control over things. And that's why a man who is struggle and fight and resist and rebel. Something's wrong. Something's radically wrong. Let me tell you, those are demon spirits and people. Sure. But Abraham says, in casting out devils, he says salvation is this. You come into a person. A person coming to be want to be saved. Oh, and they want to save. Don't be saved, save God. He says, and he looks there, there's a dark shadow hanging over them. He says a demon spirit holding the person back from receiving what Jesus Christ already paid the price for. Is a healing the sick? You see the dark shadow there. Is a demon spirit holding them back from receiving the healing? He said, no, you can't heal them and you can't save them because you're not a divine savior and you're not a divine healer. Christ is the divine savior, Christ is the divine healer. But he said, mine, you shall cast out devils. So when you what the word does, the word cast out that dark shadow from there, move it back, that demon back there, and the person could accept what is theirs now. But you can want to receive it now. That's exactly what it is. No, that is what is being done. See, that is what is being done. Because God takes the prophet up in another realm. Now, here we were, if we didn't have the gift, we don't have the gift to look in that next dimension. He could look and see them beyond the curtain of time. He could look and see them in hell. He could look and see them. But he had the gift. He could look and see people right here. He said, I see 25 years. I see you getting younger. It's about 15 years ago, something happened to you. He had that gift to see those things. Now, when he get in that realm, now those realms exist. Let me say they exist. It is worlds just like this world. When he looked beyond the curtain of time, he said, there's grass. There's people, there's animals, the deer. It's a world. On the other side is another world too. People there, real. There is some worlds, you contact with the body. There is some worlds, to enter, you have to leave this body here and go. And the thing is, it was already in the word. I'm trying to show you something so I get your mind where I want to tell you something. Now, when God sent him that gift, and he began to look in that world and see those worlds, God didn't leave him like a Superman and leave us here to marvel at how great that Superman was. He was coming back and saying, no, here in the word, Lazarus was in Abraham's bosom. He said, Jesus spoke of it. He says, this other man was down here in torment. He said, that's the place I went when I was a little boy. There's the other place I went. Here, when God let me see those people. And he's teaching us now. He said, now what you're doing, you have a body up here that's influencing you. That's why there's something that keeps you going on. When you feel weak and you feel down, he said, that body just come there and give you a charge. Because that is calling you. And the reason they're dealing with you, because you is part of it before the foundation of the world. Because we now are finding out here, we already had eternal life. That's why we could see in our unconverted state, we were stumbling along looking for something at a certain time in our lives. Where we just had to find the truth. We're like a fish out of water. See, like a lost sheep. And then something found us. Okay. Now the same way. Now, back there, when we were getting the experience, we didn't know what it was. We couldn't say, everything's all right, man. You know what happened? The Holy Ghost will come in one of these days very soon because it's the gene in me calling them. We wasn't talking to in the world. Now we're looking back to know why we behave so because we get the understanding here. And that understanding tells us that that's what came into you when your mother and father came together to produce that body. At birth, that's what makes you a living soul. That came from God. God, right at that moment, sent that spirit there. And before God sent that spirit there, that angel being was a thought in the mind of God. See? So then you realize then, you are part of God all the time. Way back, Then thou was in the world too, Paul said, before the foundation of the world. So it means that if these worlds are here and that you are being a part of you there that you didn't go to, which you're supposed to go to come here. Before you come to flesh, God will take it to the tea offering and bring it to the flesh. But God didn't take it to the tea offering, he took it to flesh. Because he wants you to go through certain things here to know him. And that theophany keeps calling you. The call is like a draw, it's a pulling. I say, and here comes the prophet and say, little children, don't you feel the travail? Aren't you craving for the vitamins? Isn't you really craving for them, that word for? Isn't really hunger for the revelation for? When it stimulates you, you know what it'd be doing? It'd be pushing you close to that body. When you catch a vision of the word here, oh, you could become the word. Where you getting that stuff from? That body there is the word. It's calling you. He said, you're going towards it. He said, when you think you get weak, he said, he comes. Because right here, let me tell you, all this is just language. Comes. Times they come, your mind say, oh, it's somewhere way far coming. Going to heaven. Oh, them astronauts in space and they take a rocket and they went so high up and they still reach heaven yet. They're still in this atmosphere. Then they just break those atmosphere and then they still really wasn't only down in the second heaven. They didn't really go up there yet. When he was there, he said, 920 feet. He said, it's not north and south in his heaven. It's another dimension here. He said, that's a breath away. If I tell you right now, you better take a deep breath. Let go. All right. When you take in that deep breath, let you know your death. When you let go, that was your next time right there. In a theophany already. It's with you. That means a man that fights his way to hell. Because you say elect, when you go do something, that checks you. That word checks you. But this, what growing inside you, that little seed, that word image that's been formed inside of you, is going to that body. That's the real influence. This in you, knowing in part, that knows all things. And you are knowing more and more, coming from a partial realization to a perfect realization, as you come more and more in contact with that. How can a prophet who preach about God, when Brother Sidney Jackson asked him, Brother Bram, who shall I pray to? He said, pray to the God inside of you, brother. God. You see what you're talking about? Now, when he went there, look at something. You know, I have a quote I want to share with you. When he went there, and he that word being open to him, he was just that in the word. He said, look, Paul's in the body, he's a dear. He said, look, I ain't making it up. Jesus over the mansions, a dear. He prayed for sick. He says, no, there's a dark shadow. He see a man lost. He said, block up a dark shadow. He see a man planning deceit. Like them two Methodist preachers, backslidden Methodist preachers. He sees a dark shadow up there. Even because the attitude was wrong. Let me tell you, anything that is not the word is an evil spirit. That's why a man of the Holy Spirit. Oh, you could be tempted because the mind, though you have the Holy Spirit in your heart, not a little compartment there, still have access to this whole mind here. He could get your reasoning and imagination and different things, and he could give you a real plan how to rob a bank. And you see a Holy Ghost filled mind, you see a whole plan to rob a bank. Sure, it's your kind of things. But for that come in your mind, you have the Holy Spirit to get the end, Satan. You get out of my reasoning, you get out of my imagination. God, you know he's bringing that to you. Sure, because it don't take it back to the word. It don't take it back to the life of Christ. So you know that. See? Think Jesus wasn't tempted? By the way, Jesus was tempted in all points. How could temptation come? How could he get there praying, not my will? If it's possible to come past, then it's not my will. Sure, he had a will of his own too, as a human being. That he had to submit to the will of the Father. He was tempted in all points. Could you say he wasn't tempted a woman? Jesus tempted a woman. Young man, 33 years old. Shaw had a ministry, had baptized many women ministered to him. Sure. But he knew who he was. The realm that he lived in. Now remember, he made up himself to be subjected to knowing things by coming from the Spirit. In other words, Bible says when Jesus understood it. You didn't understand at the time? Where have you laid him? When he come to raise Lazarus. Because he said Lazarus going to be raised. But when he come, he said, where have you laid him? Because in the vision, he didn't see the tomb. But Abraham said, if Jesus said, I believe in Jesus. Because if thy vision from the Father. With God and was yet man. He was hungry, he was tired, he was weary. Because you know why? He had to come that way to be a high priest for you and me. Now you think of God submitting himself to waiting and praying and praying and seeking God for the vision. As a man. And then make himself, boom, to just see vision. And no. God put himself there. And I tell the last thing. I say, we'll be hurry and excited because we don't have real revelation. Look at God take 9 months to form in that body. Look at God learn to walk. Falling and walk and walk. Look at God wait 30 years knowing he's going to come and die for the world. And go through all those before he comes into ministry. Look at God put just so much strength in that body so he fall with the cross. Because he didn't want to show he's a super duper. Just walk up to the cross. Holy, speak the cross. Cross, go up and there and wait for me. And walk up and lay down his life on it. No. Carry it until the body had no more strength to carry it. And didn't use nothing supernatural to empower the body. Look when he prayed, the angel come to minister to him. Sure. Now, God didn't do that because God, you know, couldn't do otherwise. God do that because in that we are seeing the kind of person God is. God of humility. God of compassion. Because in revealing himself, he was letting us know what we are going to be like. This one we're going to spend eternity with. What kind of children we ought to be. So when we're trying to seek a way to be high and exalted and he come low down, we're going against the way he is. There's another spirit taking us there. And I say, God's only going to let him whip him and whip him. And the first whip, maybe the strength will take it. Second whip, he can take it. Every time he get the 12th one, and the bones start showing, flesh starts splatter up, and it gets scarred. With them cat and nine, with all them bone and metal and thing inside it, will it beat him with? And yet, you know, I'll take 40. It's 40 I'm supposed to take. Because I must make sure there's not one disease that is not atoned for. Everything that's sitting through, I must take enough stripes to cover it all. So when I say by my stripes they are healed, as sick as they are, they could see me there with them on my mind. You know what I'm saying? That's why Paul said, I may know him in the fellowship of his sufferings. If our heart could get in those places, we're going to see how simple it is to surrender and let go and to walk with him. And we're not trying to be cool in the message the way we think, knowing this and knowing this topic and knowing this topic and knowing this topic, and we are bright student in class and we're going to rapture. No. It is we walk with him and we know him and we fall in love with him more and more and we just surrender to him and what he says do and where he sends we go, because we don't even want to live for ourselves no more, because we're getting so lost in that life and our life is being hid with him, in God. That's exactly what it is. And there's no greater joy, no greater pleasure the devil can give you, no greater sensation the devil can give you than that. That is the ecstasy of and heights of joy and pleasure. When the prophet went in that place, he said, you talk about joy, it's unspeakable. He said, it's a perfection. He said, you talk about joy. When a man thing down here, you jump around some music in a little bar room and you boogie woogie a little bit and you pull your peepers down on your nose and you're kind of high and you skate around and you comb up your hair high in the hand. to say, ooh, got a nice hair comb, and you wear some little funny looking dress from Hollywood, you know, that show how blind you is still, you know, and you kind of think you're looking nice, and you don't want to join a theophany up there? But you're making joke, I did. Amen. It's because you mean to see them things yet. You're still enchanted here with the little serpent meat. You're still whole here dangling on a string here yet. Because your soul ain't cut loose to really break into that realm like a real spiritual astronaut. That brother Brown talking about horse and buggy around the ground. He said motorcar, you go a little faster, get a little more places quicker. He said aeroplane, you get off the earth a little bit and you kind of get a little nice feeling. You know, you kind of feel kind of religious and thing. He said, but then astronaut, you break into another world altogether. Oh my. And that's where this message, this revelation has opened when the seals open to take us in there. And with the gift he had, he could enter the supernatural realm. But he would come back and tell us in the word, look at there. And when we see the word, we start to understand how to approach things. Because we know now it is there by the testimony of the Holy Spirit through him. And the word showing us that those things are there. So even though we need a gift to break in and see it, we know now the approach. How to relate to it, because we are told it is there. We are told how we should approach it. We are told what it means. See how it influences us here. That's why you don't see the angel standing there, but the words didn't camp around about you. You know that angel is the Holy Spirit himself. That's who he is. And then right there, you're going to beat that child in anger. That word comes back to you when the Spirit brings it back to you. And conviction say, no, correct them. Don't beat them in anger. Train them in the way they should go. Tell them why they shouldn't do it. Instruct them. See? And then, and right there, you ain't see the angel yet, but you get under the effect of the word right there. And you get the right approach there, and you get the right result there. You see what I'm saying? Okay. So then now, the same with healing and all these things. He would go in there, and he would see those things. Then he'd be in a preach message and says, like the key to the door is a way, he says, that unlocks. And the key is the revelation. Key is faith, is the mystery. And you want to get healing, there is a law that governs that. You want to get salvation, it's when you come, you say, preach those things. Set the people's minds in that atmosphere, set their hearts in that attitude. You say, and then they're going to create that feeling for those things. And the Spirit move right in. And that's why I say in services, we do more teaching than 95% of the message on teaching. If we're going to pray for the sick, they come on a request, we pray. If the request don't meet, then occasionally we visit the person, find out if it's maybe a member of the assembly or something. Otherwise, we leave it to that. But you don't really get 100% there because that law is not, that realm, you don't relate to that realm that way to get the full results. But because this is an hour where we know the signs just to attract the attention. But then we find as we go along the journey, we get people sick, we get conditions, we get different things, and they begin to affect us. So then we need now to deal with those things. Then we need people that who don't even have the Spirit. Then we need to really get them into the Spirit. Sometimes it's not that the Spirit is not for them. It's not that they're not a child of God and ordained to receive the Spirit. But now we need to spend some time with them to see them true to the Spirit. You know what I'm saying? And that's why, like in a service like this now, what we do, we take that thing and we spend a little time with it and talk about it and create that feeling and create that attitude and set your heart and open it up a little more for you that you can really see it. Not just hear, but see it. And realize that we're going to do that back there in service. But then here it is, it's trying to strengthen the things that are ready to die and the weak things and build up in those areas. And that's why we deal here. So we can reach those who may have a specific need here. And then you, who already established, could get a better hold, that you could become an instrument through which God could help the weaker ones. Because the Bible says, strong, bear the infirmities of the weak. Exhorting one another, strengthening one another, much more easily approaching. So that's why we're spending time on these things. So the prophet says, he says now, like speaking about the new birth, when Ezekiel, God was showing Ezekiel the new birth and these things. And he's talking about a new heart, a new spirit. He said Ezekiel was prophesying that would happen hundreds of years before. It was a prophecy, really. He said, what happens? The prophet climbs beyond the emotion of the church. He goes beyond the rhythm of the music. He goes beyond the clapping of the hands. He goes beyond the joy of the saints. And let me tell you, that's where a real spirit-filled believer goes. That's where an eagle goes in this age that we live in. The climbs above the emotion of the church. They climb above the rhythm of the music. They climb above the joy of the saints. They climb above the clapping of the hands. They don't just live there. Oh, we all enjoy a good time. We all enjoy a kick the leg and run and shout. We enjoy that. We have enthusiasm for the Lord. We feel happy and we clap and we shout. But we don't live there. Because beyond that. Because it can't cross to daily. And no man, the prophet said, goes to death laughing. It's unless he's insane or something. You see? He says, and that prophet, he goes up in that realm, and then God opens his eyes and let him see things to come. Then he brings him back down among the members of the body and foretell them what is in the making. And let me tell you something. In this day when he's talking about hawk on the telephone post, he said, deer waiting for a cat to mash a rabbit, they get soft. He said, but the eagle hunts the food. Flying down this valley, flying that valley, flying this mountain, looking around them eagle eyes, searching, flying around, using his wings to take him in places quickly. And that is you. That is you to believe in this age. Oh, you don't sit there, all lose your identification. Get soft, you don't know who you are. You're on the telephone post. You're coming service half dead. You don't know what to do. No. Oh, you know God make you to be different in this age. God make you to be raptured in this age. God make you be changed in this age. God give you the kind of message that going to open up the supernatural to you. Put the key in your hand. Amen. Let me tell you what you in this age as saints know and ministers in past ages didn't know. Luther, a great messenger, didn't know what you as a saint know. I remember in the late saying down there. Sure, it's a different age. Many of you are going to take Luther in your home and put him down there and talk to him about the deeper things of God. You're going to take Wesley and the Pentecostal and put him in your home and talk to him about the deeper things of God. Because it's a different age. You're in this age. And this age, you open the supernatural to his bride. Because she is going to be the super church. She is going to be him. See, that's what she's going to be. And he says, like a gift of knowledge. A gift of knowledge in the Bible is prophecy, which goes up and find out things that are to come, brings them back down, but they must compare into the Bible. See, he being all of them about them supernova, he being all of them about them seven trumpets. We being them put right back in the Bible. You see, those things that all them nine gifts is in that body. And the Holy Spirit uses those things whenever he wants to do for his own purpose. It is knowledge of things God is doing, present tense, and not written in an open form in the Bible. And it takes something to unlock it and bring it out and say that is what God is doing. And prove it by the Bible. And prove it by the events. And show it modern events being made clear by vindicated prophecy. Sure. Yeah, because the Holy Spirit will show you what? Things to come. If that is a true word, the Holy Spirit have to do it. If you have to bring back things to remembrance and tell you, God's not a prophet, what happened in the river there? What happened in the cave there? What happened in the seals open there? What is made available for the bride? He's going to show you what happened there and bring it back to your remembrance. Then he's going to show you what is to come. You're going to be changed. The sleeping saints will come and gather and meet us together. That angel of the Lord will visit you in your home. That's why God set us in order in our homes. He came in Cornelius' home. Peter stood up there, spoke the words under that first seal in Cornelius' home. They were catching those things. They were speaking to their life. They had the key to the kingdom. They were opening the door for a whole Gentile nation to come in. You realize what that was? And there were some men in the house talking in the house, meeting with food prepared and different things. You didn't have a song service, went out and different. You didn't have all that. You just sent for time. While the man was waiting for the food to cook, you know, getting a vision upstairs. Sure. Went across there with a couple brothers. So, every time you're walking, he says, I don't even know what's going on. The Holy Spirit told me, the men going to be here. You say you have that vision. Well, I can only say what I know. So, let me start right with what I know. See? And he started telling about John, started telling about Jesus, started telling different things. And right in there, the Holy Spirit moved. He didn't say, I'll explain about Moses and the Red Sea. He couldn't talk that. Oh, like, no, how Noah built the ark. Oh, let's talk about creation, maybe, you know. No, he's not telling what happened right in that generation, what has happened to them. Because they was carrying that word. And when you see your thing as anything less, you're not reading the Bible no more. So you let your own inferiority complex take you into another world that is not the scripture. Because you think being humble is not claiming your place that God gave you. That's foolishness. That's not humility. That's ignorance. Humility is to humble yourself to the word. But faith is to take your place and recognize your position that God gave you. And when God gives you that position, you know, you realize by the grace of God, it's not that you did. See, that is why it's grace, because God put you there when you're undeserving to be there. And God sent his spirit inside of there so you will have no control to do anything other. To make that spirit is going to make you a prisoner to that word. It's going to convict you of sin. It's going to reprove you. It's going to keep you right at the center of that word constantly, because that's the reason it's sent for, to lead you and to guide you into all truth. And he says, it isn't that God says something to the prophet at that time when he took him up there. He says, isn't that God saying something to the prophet at that time? It is the prophet catches the word that God has already said. When the man said, Brother Abraham, you could write a new Bible. He said, well, that wouldn't be according to the Bible, brother. He said, because already written, you can't articulate it. He said, let me say 7 tongues. It could be something outside the word then. Because it wasn't written in the book. He said, no, but it's already hid in the book. So what was the prophet was catching? When he catch serpent seed, it was already in the book. When he catch back in the name of Jesus Christ, it was already in the book. When he catch one God, it was already in the book. When he got short voice and trumpet, it was already in the book. Everything was already in the book. For the word was before the foundation of the world. God spoke the word and laid it away. Stretch out in time, and the prophet goes up and sees the time coming, and it's only a gift of knowledge that he brings down and puts it on paper. This is about the start of saying. He only goes down, brings it down and put it on paper. But what God already said, it was set before the foundation of the world. And that's what God said about you too. You was going to be here. You ordained to be here. You ordained to hear this word. You ordained to respond to it. You ordained to have something leading you to believe it rather than leading you away to disbelieve it. See, God moved you into that channel by the grace of God. And that unfolds to you the predestinated mystery behind your life. And all these great things that Paul was teaching, so they were finding it out in their own self. So they were finding it out. But the thing is, we get scared many times to bring it down to you who may not even be known by people outside your own neighborhood. You might be in the assembly right here, a few little people, and some don't even know you, to tell you how you're not so popular. You're not no great personality. Then right among here, people don't even know you. They don't even know your name, they don't even know where you live, they don't even know nothing about you hardly. Some may just know you by face. Because you're not important. But what has happened? That now they want to intimidate you and scare you. But the thing is, God knows you. And God chooses nobodies always to make somebody. It's simple right there. He knows every hair on your head. And every time you brush your hair and a few fall off on the ground, you dust a few off your clothes when you finish. Tell yourself they're waiting for you somewhere else. But we don't come down that fine. But Jesus is bringing them that fine.
I just get excited. Ooh, we identify the right one, but I'm powerful. No, I don't get it. So, you know how it's related?
I don't say, wait now. God really knows every thought a man thinks. And even what he had thought in the past back there, God knows that too. And even what you're going to think right now, he said, you just pray anything in your heart right now, whatever. Maybe Lord haven't called me, maybe so-and-so. He said, you do it right now. Right? And then he says, okay, you were just saying, Lord, have that man speak to me, so-and-so. You're just praying right now for your brother, so-and-so. I said, God already knew everything. And when I see that, it makes me realize, but now, God, when God comes to me and says, your thoughts speak louder in heaven than your words on earth. And it brings me to a place that every thought must come into captivity inside of me. Live in the consciousness of every thought. Because I know God knew. I sit right there. I prove nobody could tell me different. I'm convinced of it when I saw that discernment. Hebrews 4:12. The word quick and sharp and powerful. Even the intents of the heart. Man, even have to speak the words, God knew it. And the intents behind the thought. And the motive and the objective, the life of the thought itself. And God knows that too. Sure. So then, when you say you're going through something, Lord, I wonder if you know why I'm going through, then we express an ignorance. And that paralyzes our faith, that we can't release it. But when you say, God knows, God, and He cares, and He would not give me more than I could bear. Amen. God has a purpose fit by the grace of God. And if I have to die right here, let me go down gallantly and nobly. But Ramsey says, I feel for the gun wasn't there. He's not walking across the field. He said, Lord, don't let me die like a coward. If they don't want to go, they can remember me. Hey, I'm your servant. You can't have me running from a bull ball. Oh, God, I did. No. He said, Lord, I take off that hat. Let me go straight to my grave. Now, this is where you want me to go, Father. Walk right through there. Yes, sir. I mean, that is the way you believe it. When you're conscious of God, when you know God right, well, if you don't want to move, then you want me to go. Sure. And if you want me to go, let me go like I know He's here. And want me to go this way because otherwise you don't move already. Walk on there with honor. That's the way we should be by the grace of God. You watch and see there. Let me tell you, this Holy Spirit I'm talking about. Going to lead and guide into all truth. That would just mean understand certain the word, because some of you, He may never lead you while you're here on this earth to learn or know a lot of these, a lot of deeper things that you may want to know. But the things He will lead you to know is what He called you to fulfill. The place, what you want to express Himself to you, truth to you. And that's why, you don't try, if somebody is scholarly, you don't envy them. Maybe they can't bake a nice cake like you. Sure. And there's a talent that God gives you. And your children get happy. Oh, mommy baking a cake today. And they're all excited. And, you know, God gives you something to put joy in your home. And while you're baking that cake right there, God's going to reveal Himself to you in that cake. All the things that are going to make that cake. How that are going to the oven. How that are going to the fiery trials. How that are going to be baked into reality. Sure. How that mix it until everything dissolves and gets smooth. Get refined. Get that certain quality. How that I said, I want to have beaten. You had a need. Yeah, God is going to share right in your cake. I'm sure some of you know when you sit in your own cake. Sure. See, you bake it. Because now you're baking cake and you ain't seen God in the environment. And when God's going to beat you to get you refined, you start to react. And right there, God wants to teach you. And when you testify about the things that you know and the way God reveals Himself to you, you know, it enriches your life because it's different. You're seeing by the Spirit rather than trying to learn by a book.
And that kind of scene will be more beautiful. When you hear a man can stand up and begin to look and see by inspiration and speak. And you hear a scholarly man come on line by line and expound the best language. It's different. The man who is by inspiration is somebody, you see something divine. Somebody say, like with Jesus, they say, where this man went to school? Where did this man get his learning? Like the prophet come, man talk about God and all kind of different things. This man street man only has 7th grade education. Where did man learn them things from? Inspiration. It's different. And this is what it is. He is going to lead you. He's going to bring back things to remembrance. So now right there, the things that God is bringing back. Let me tell you, I remember there I was going to preach. I testified this years ago. Some of you may not even remember. It's not important to remember in any case. But I remember my experience. I was going to preach. And all the burden had been praying whole day and night before, trying to get ready for the message and these things. All the community service and the saints is praying and everything. And I even sat in the room right there, like no inspiration. I sat on there. And all of a sudden, a cricket match come back to me where I get 6 wickets for 2 runs. All right, guys, I tell you, look, I'm going to preach, I think about cricket match, I get 6 for 2 runs. But inspiration, with the inspiration of the Holy Ghost. Because you see, God is going to bowl out the enemy that day. And brother, he's going to spin a web around the enemy. And when I hit that pulpit, I get electrified, like a dynamo. And then I started to understand the strange thoughts. And Brother Bram says, you know, he says, you sit down there and the things that would come to him. You know, and he said, why would God be bringing that to my mind? You see? And you it make you wonder. But you see, every place God passes in your life is for a purpose. And that's why sometimes we talk about our Old Testament and our New Testament and the book of our life. Now we have our Old Testament before we come to the world, but those things there was even ordained, even the way you're born was ordained. See? Why born Mission 27 Mission Road? My whole life is a mission. See? Why born in San Juan? St. John means something to me. Why come to go in Santa Cruz? Why the first time was Venezuela? Why a brother with a Spanish name, Lopez, baptized me? Why the only subject I passed in school is Spanish? Fail English and pass Spanish. Everybody laughs. They think I joke. They say, you talk English and you fail English and pass Spanish. That's strange. It's strange to me too. Until God shall reveal it. Why I tried my school days to go to Venezuela until I cried. My mother couldn't pay the $95. $95 some days to go and I couldn't go. And I cried and I feel so bad. I so wanted to go. Because I want my school friend, a next teenager, went to go and have a good time in the world, you see. And then the first time God sent me, when I went there, had one pant, didn't even have a coat yet. Had a bad bronco in Caracas. When I went in the back, he sent me to a sister, just leave the room, went to the next one, come with a bronco, just like that. Same day I arrived, but 5 minutes after I arrived. And said, try this one, and put it on, and fit me exactly and match my pants. I don't know why, but God. Then from there in El Salvador, Honduras, Nicaragua, all the places, you see, among the Spanish people, went for the first time there in Arizona, meet the brothers there, Spanish brothers. And then I started to see, look how God has known everything in a person's life. From the Old Testament come over in the New Testament. It meant something. And that's why you see this eternal life in you. The Spirit only comes to quicken that life. And it may seem simple, it may seem ordinary. There's a certain man teaching I just testified some minutes before we close. Had a teacher in my school, same Spanish teacher. And I guess the only reason I passed Spanish because, you know, I was kind of close to that teacher. At least, not I wasn't close to him, I should say. He showed me attention when I was caged up since a small, living by one people to the next, who was in the family, the ill. Treating you, beating you, different things. Never even grew up home. That sometimes I know, well, that man, my father, that woman, my mother. But I say, oh, your father hold you and buy something for you and, you know, treat you nice, or your mother, and they care for you. It wasn't that kind of life. And then you go to school, you know, with my people, and they do you all kind of things. Living under fear, and they beat you for every little bit, you know, the children, and they, you know, almost drill things into you. And then it came to the place. I remember, you know, when I reached a certain age, and that teacher there in school, being just out of all the teachers, and just being a show, like, maybe you're seeing this boy, miss, is something about this boy that, like, maybe not from a good home, or not maybe sleeping well, or maybe not being cared for, something. And he tried to encourage him. You know, a teacher could see things in his students. And he tried to encourage me. And that gave me a little incentive. And years after, when the Lord wanted to show me things and I dream, that teacher used to be there in the dream talking to me. And it would come back to me, yeah, but that is that person. And he was like an angel to me. He represented that to me in the dream. To that girl, he was the teacher, the one I was close to. That was the one who could have looked at me and know what I was going through. And I would look and I would see those things. And it's strange that things that happen to you, sometimes, you know, it seems so insignificant, but it comes back. And when Jesus began to tell you, as two sparrows fall far, far, and one fall, that God knows about it. Every hair in your head, God knows about it. And why would he teach on things like your hair and God knows about it? He's trying to show us the infinite God who knows all things. And there's nothing with each and every one of us as his children that he knows nothing about. Our whole life is being pre-planned even under this very moment. And when we begin to see those things and get to those things, to relate with the Holy Spirit is a joy. To serve God is a joy. Because it is the place you long to live. It's that if I get it, he died to make sure you get it. He put representation in you to make sure when it come on you, you're going to change and not be the same person. And you wouldn't be like the other person. It come upon you day and night, day and night, day and night. You get all kinds of experiences and your nature is still a pig nature. Don't sound there. No, he didn't have you like that. He have you that, you know, you're still there. You get break up when his presence come close to you. You read his word and it melts your heart. It's something inside there. You look at your life and you're satisfied. You want to give over more to him. Sometimes you bother with your own self. If there is more in you to give, you want to give. What is half your soul? It's what he put inside of you. You see? And the more you let go, and maybe many of you maybe don't even feel that way. But it's not because you're not that. But it's because you don't give yourself over to him as you should. You don't draw near to him as you should. You don't take the time to spend his presence because he tried to let you see how indisciplined some of you are and you don't even recognize you're so indisciplined. That sometimes just sit down and wait for something. You can't wait. But get you in something else. Oh, you know, that maybe your flesh enjoy doing. Oh, you go by your neighbor and you talk for hours. And then you sit down and talk with him. You can't talk for him for 5 minutes. And he shows you. And then the things you talk for in about 5 hours, it just pass away. It don't mean nothing. And it shows you your own self. It shows you, look, you want to know the things of God. You want to know the deeper things of God. But for me to give it to you, I don't just want to give it to you. Because it's me. The things you want to know is me. It make me up. It's me you really want to know. It's not a person like you know, that conked, that everything you just go and draw in. And you know how the money getting in there. You don't know who put it there. You don't know what. All you need to just run in and draw. No, he don't want that. He wants you to love him. He wants you to draw close to him. He wants to be tender-hearted towards him. He wants you to be thinking about him. And you're going to find that the supernatural things that sometimes you think you could pray a hard prayer and bring down, it will be with you always if you could give him your heart, truly give him your heart. It will be right here with you always. Because you will know that, Lord, what you want is me. What you want is, and me is my time, my desires, all that I have. It will be used for your glory. It will be used in your service. And that's where your battles are. And your overcoming is right there. Because you're overcoming, you're going to see yourself and the things in yourself that you can't surrender. It shows you still haven't overcome. If you want to give it to him, just satisfy your conscience. Well, God can't see. You know, some people, you know, they'll do something as a good deed, but it's only to satisfy the conscience. They do it out of love and commitment and faith. Because they do it in case of, you ask if I'll get judged, I can always say, but didn't I do that? Didn't I do that? Did I do that at that time? God don't receive that kind of service. That don't mean nothing to God. Because you're giving something out of heart. You're trying to do something to bluff your own self. You know, so I go to church, or I do so, or I help a brother, do this. No. When you really see him, when you really see Calvary, it's finished. Let me tell you, it's finished. It really breaks to you, really quickens you, it's finished. And may God give that to all of us. That's why I see Brother Bram like a child. Big 56-year man like a child. That sometimes, you know, in the book, All Things Are Possible, they say they couldn't understand this man. This man is irresponsible like a child, you know, and, you know, he don't take things seriously as they should, which they mean the things in the world. You know, maybe get the meeting set up, do something, so hire this here, pay the manager, do this, this, come here, make sure I meet you, all the ministers for breakfast and this. When it comes to the word, being surrendered and given over to it, that's why we come in here. And that's why in the days to come, when we come here, I hope that we'd be able to get down into areas right amongst us where mothers, young sisters, even the children, that God would just break it to them in the way that they can understand what I'm saying. And you go in your home. I'm doing this for the homes. The only reason I had this issue is for the homes. I can talk on things that would reflect back in your home. Because I see so much lacking. And we have a good service. We have a good meeting. We feel the presence. But you see the people. You know, you look for the closeness among the family. You look to see the family relationship. You look to see the husband and wife relationship. You look to see the father and the children. You look to see brother and sister. You know, you look to see the people there in such a way that, you know, they are becoming the word, not just hearing the word, but in their home. You better take it back. And you better express it out. And I trust that you all have been getting together with your families. I trust that families have been taking the time to do it and really get there. So I create an atmosphere in the home. And I'm sure you're going to see and experience it will be far greater than the blessing of the Lord. If I clean up a clogged pipe, you're going to see the water flowing. I tell you, we sit right there at home. A few of us get together. Some of the others who come down with us. And you just get together there. And you see such a presence, such an anointing of the Spirit. And we take the word and we just begin to speak to them a little bit. You know, and on things, you know, like right now, we just talk about Abraham. We're taking the life of Abraham. Because Abraham was the one who was an overcomer and God coming out with Melchizedek. Abraham was the one who was changing his body. Abraham came to the spoken word with Jehovah Jireh, which is the very pattern for us in this day. And we just had to take the life of Abraham and study it. How he's called, how he obeyed, how he's bringing out things. And to see how the Spirit is just things relevant to our life and walking and just sharing the word there and then pray. It's such a sweet atmosphere, and then we're gonna worship the Lord and God comes so close that Balaram say like take molasses in a cold morning. You just need to pay down and just come slow and get so thick amongst us. And that's why when I say I hope you do it, because I know the Holy Spirit is just moving us into a certain atmosphere. And remember, the church will not be service days. The church will be when the believers get together. And the believers is in that atmosphere 24 hours a day. And for a time to get together, is all them revelations coming together. Is all that Spirit coming together. But when you have 4 backslidden, 3 cold, 8 lukewarm, 4 fighting in their home, different. When that come together, that's what you have coming together. You know what I'm saying? Sure. And you want that minister to wave a wand over you and do some magic for you. That don't work.
We come together. We talk about the Holy Spirit. We get it. And when these things are clear up your attitudes, clear up your understanding. Now you get there, you realize it's simple. It's so simple, like you go on the water to be baptized, somebody immerse you in water and bring you raised back up. It's like that all God with the Spirit, He baptized you with the Spirit same way. Let's come right over you and fill you and take you over. And then your desires no more. You, let me tell you, that's your desire. And when you surrender your desire, and you take it back, and you lay down, God has consumed it. Sure. It will go. Because your spirit that was holding you there is something that you had give yourself over to. And when the revelation strike your heart, and you're not going to give yourself over to it, no more, you're going to let it go, and you'll let it go. And you know in your heart, you'll let it go, and you'll put it down. It has to go. It's that simple. Why do you think Paul said, I die daily? You think when the end of the day comes, you'll say, I'm dead today? I go and sleep. I get up in the morning. Let me say I'm dead again today. No, it's not. Let me tell you, it is living in the consciousness. He said, I know this law here, but I delight myself after the law in the inward man. And there is no condemnation. And that's relevant. And the Spirit of God, let me quicken this body and bring it in subjection to the world. And when I sing, it's a sing by understanding. When I pray, I put it on understanding. When I do it understanding, it's a walk in the Spirit. I walk with him on vacation. That's what he did. That he's talking about. That. Die daily. You don't give preeminence to your flesh to do things of the flesh that is unprofitable for the kingdom of God to which you have dedicated your life. You die daily. You consecrate yourself daily for His service. Lord, I consecrate myself to You today for Your service. I don't know what it is. Maybe while I go to work, maybe somebody will talk to me. While I'm home, You want me to pray for some saint or something somewhere. But I want to consecrate myself to You for Your service. To serve You another day like You're coming today. That's what it is. Out of a sincere heart. Amen. I tell you, it's going to be such an experience for us. As you begin to walk in it, the water might only be by your ankle. But you walk a little further, you're going to find come up to your thighs. You walk a little further, come right up to your neck. You walk a little further, you see that this water is swimming. You see that's what it is. Just walk in it. You come in the water, keep walking in it. And you will start to see Him expressing His own life through you. You see a mango tree fighting to be a mango. Quiet. He says it blossom. Drop off the old leaves. New leaves start to come on. The blossoms start to come out. Little mangoes start to form inside of there. Start to grow. Next thing start to get ripe on the tree. Next thing, those who plant the tree start to smile, they see them getting ripe. They think, you know, I'm going to be picking some soon. You have a mango feast, I'm going to invite some of these saints over to get some mangoes too. Exactly. And the tree make one noise. Quietly, it brings forth everything. That's exactly what it is. Beethoven wanted to write some music. He go in his room, sing on the piano, play a little bit. You like all that song, maybe play a little higher, a little different note, melody, change the rhythm a little bit, break into inspiration, and write a masterpiece. Prophet so it is. He had the spirit of a musician inside him. He said, let us spirit come inside of you now. You walk in the room, sit on the piano, play a little bit, start getting inspired. And you write a masterpiece too. Isn't that people Peter do? Walk out by the gate, didn't have a prayer meeting, didn't try to cry down nothing. Such as I have given unto you, rise up and walk, go and testify, let me go out to business. That's it. Do this. Donovan Woods, big cancer in the air. Hey, Donovan Woods, what's the matter? Oh, son, let me see that air. Hey, my. Next to this, but I'm myself. Sure. We didn't even pray. Well, the Woods just lay hands, son. Should we talk about? Let me tell you, that's what it is. May He blow the flues out of imaginations. I showed you last week is concepts. We live in concepts, but God always keeps His pattern. When our concept becomes His pattern, it becomes your everyday life. It becomes your everyday life. So much of you, God has given experiences. But so much of you, don't be sensitive enough. Or don't have your heart open to Him enough that He can show you all what He's doing for you. But when you come here, we talk like this normal. We just get simple. We just have to, you know, rehearse some things and things you know and talk about some little experiences. Sure, it comes alive to you. You know why it comes alive to you? Because you're going through it. It's not strange to you. So may God help us and we take these things to heart and just let go. It's just a letting go. Let's just sing that and you worship Him a little bit and dismiss. Let go and let God have His own wonderful way. May we climb above the emotion in the church. May we climb above the joy of the saints. May we climb above the clapping of the hands. May we climb above the rhythm of the music. May we climb up into the realm where we can hear His voice. The word is already written. Speak into our hearts, illuminate our minds. And when you go back home, as a housewife, you stand anointed and commissioned in your home to serve your family with a commission from God, from the pillar of fire. Just like Moses get a commission to go and bring people out of bondage, you get a commission to feed your family, create a nice atmosphere in your home, bring joy to the hearts of your children, give comfort to them, give them a longing and a happiness to be home. Is what God wants to anoint you for. You husbands, God wants to anoint you to give security to your family, to your wife, stability to your children, example, leadership for your home, to be the real headship, to shout grace, grace in your home, to take your place at the head of the table. That you can bless your children, the father of the priest in the Old Testament, with a real blessing. That you can instruct them, you can train your children, like the animals, the lioness, take them there, I mean, to walk with them, young cubs, I mean, to train them, like the hen, there's God with the chicks in the yard, I mean, to scratch, nowhere to scratch and dig for them. If nature make them do that, couldn't the Holy Spirit inside of us knows how to train ours? Amen. Just give ourselves over to it. And then you know what's going to happen? That when you bring somebody in your home, they walk right into such an atmosphere of love and power, of the awe of the presence of God, that they could receive. When you minister to them, you talk the word, you share the word, you share testimony. They don't just hear you talking to them about God like religion. They see Christ. They look around and they see your wife come out there and minister to them. They see your children there in subjection, in order. They see a beauty. They see something that they know reflects a kingdom, reflects a place where we're going. But because that spirit of that place has already visited us and preparing us by this word, we are already manifesting in a measure what that place is going to be in our little economy here. This fellowship that we have with Christ, the sweetness that we have, we're going to find that things are going to happen amongst us. You know what miracles are going to happen? You're going to pray for the sick right there in the courts of your home, in the place where God has given you jurisdiction. And God is going to hear your prayer because you're in a place where God's name is called upon. If you have all kind of unbelievers marching through your house up and down, carrying all kind of conversation, all kind of different things, something is wrong. If your house is like the atmosphere in your house is like a community center, something is wrong. Your home is a place God has given you. You must respect it. You must know God gave it to you to live there in it while you're on this earth, to serve in Him and reflecting His kingdom. The weary can come and be strengthened and refreshed at your home because there's faithful hands to serve. There's a welcome spirit. Like when God came to Abraham, there's hospitality. There's things there that makes the home something more than a house. with some people living at the same address. Our home is our atmosphere. Home is where the heart is, as the song says. Where there's a real atmosphere that reflects what is in your heart. It might be a shack, might be a two-room, might be crammed up with all kinds of different things. The atmosphere, the spirit, the attitude in which you conduct yourself, the beauty of the lives that take up the habitation there is what makes all the difference. Abraham is living in a tent out in the desert. But God Almighty, weary and dusty, come right in. He didn't entertain strangers unawares. He says, Lord, Elohim. He had a revelation. God was there. Cornelius, in his home, the angel was right there. Martha and Mary in the home, Jesus was right there. God in the flesh. Zacchaeus, he says, I'm coming to your home. He wants to come in our home also. He doesn't just want to bring us to church. He wants to come in our home also. When we're just religious, we want to go to church. But he wants to go in your home. I want to come and sup with you, he says. Those men from Emmaus, if God dwells in you. That is the revelation Gehazi had. That's the revelation Elisha had when Elisha gave him his staff. That's the revelation the people had when they took the aprons and the kerchiefs on Paul's body. Because Paul was looking back there at Elisha giving the boy the staff. Because they knew the Spirit of God dwelt there. Look what one night in the home of Aquila and Priscilla did to Apollos. Look what it did to him. He was a changed man after that. His ministry was changed. He was spoken the same breath as with Paul and Peter. He had come to such a great reputation because a couple in whose home they had loved the word to have preeminences had took him in and shared with him the things that they were made known, that was made known to them by God. The hope that they had, they could give every man a reason of that hope. Let go. Let go. And let God. That's a secret. The surrender. If only we can let go. Let go. Stop trying. That is what it is. Just yielding ourselves to Him. Your sorrows will vanish. Oh, that's the truth. It will. Your night turn to day. Oh, just let go. And let go. Oh, one more time. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Let go and let God have His wonderful will. Oh, I'm going to let go, Lord. Let go. His way. Thank you, Jesus. Can't you feel Him coming in upon you? Will vanish your night today. Let go and let go. Just just want to invite Brother Samuel Johnson to come and pray with us and ask God dismissal also.
Dear Lord, Father, we thank you, Lord God, for just coming and speaking to our hearts. And Lord, we see how much you're interested in us, Lord, being like you, Father. Lord, getting in your spirit, Lord Jesus, understanding the things of the kingdom, Father, the kingdom program, Lord God. We could see, oh God, the very purpose, Lord, in coming, Father, and speaking to our hearts, Lord, and lifting us up, Lord, as the Apostle Paul said, far above, Father. Oh God, Father, we want to say thanks and praise and how much we honor thee, Father. Lord, think of what your words say. What is man that thou art so mindful of? Lord, you could come, Lord, in this little humble place, Lord, and watch every need and every little heart, Lord, and watch every effort and every desire, Father, and just set us, Lord, in as individual, Father, in our different channels, in our different ways, coming from different walks of life, with different environments, in different homes, and different experiences, Lord. And yet, Lord, there is a word for everyone, Father, that we could live filled, we could live comforted, we could live with encouragement, Lord, and a determination to go, Lord, and make our wrongs right, and to fix that the things that need fixing, Lord, and we could be in the right channel, Father, that your spirit could be encouraged, that dove could be around us, Lord God, that we could understand the things that is so real, oh God, even around us, the things that we don't understand, Lord, yet we experience it, Father, but how your Holy Ghost will come and minister unto it, that our experiences could come alive, Lord. That our day could have joy in it, Lord. That our life, our Christianity, all that we long to see, Father, could be made so real. And we could experience, Lord, that real joy of salvation. Father, just have your way, Lord. And continue to minister through your servant unto our hearts, Lord. And bless us continually, Father. Lord, this is the same blessing that you had already blessed us with. That you are making known to us even now, Lord. We thank you, Father, for it, Lord. Lord, and that dear sister this morning, with that little child, Father, that you had given her, Lord God. Lord, with all that uncomfortableness, Father, Lord, you is the great comforter. Lord, you have special promises for these conditions. Father, oh God, I think of what your servant has seen this morning. All these stripes, Lord, to cover every condition. Father, we pray, God, that this morning, Lord, that your Holy Spirit would minister unto that need, Father, for you are here for that purpose. Lord, how you said it in your word, that many are the afflictions of the righteous. Oh, God, so many, Father, but the Almighty God has delivered them all. Father, oh God, you had already made the provision, Father. Lord, we come claiming it this morning, Father. We come thanking you in advance, Father. We know that you have already done it, dear God. Lord, we command that dark shadow to move up from over that child in the name of Jesus Christ this morning, that she could have the victory, Father. Lord, we believe it is already done. We thank you in advance, oh Father. We ask it in Jesus' name. Lord, and when we go, Lord, let us not forget the things that are spoken. Let us keep you in our minds, Lord God. Let our hearts be upon thee, Father. Oh God, give us that peace that we could continue on to praise you and to worship you and to call upon thy name regardless of the circumstance and the conditions. For you has already done it for us. Have your own way and bless us as we go together in the name of Jesus Christ today. Amen.
Oh my, may we just lift our hands and praise him. His presence is here. We believe he has healed a child. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Blessed be your name, Father. We are so grateful and so thankful for your goodness and your grace. Oh, God, undeserving as we are, but you love us. And Lord God, you have drawn us close to you, Lord. Oh, and we are determined our hearts to serve you and to bless your wonderful name. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you so much today, Lord.
Hallelujah. Blessed be your name. All glory and honor and praise and might and power and dominion be unto thee. For thou art worthy, dear Lamb of God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Amen and amen and amen. Amen. God richly bless you. We was a couple minutes longer than we should be, but please forgive me, and may God take you safe to your home. Amen. Give you rest and keep you in the sweet, blessed, sweet communion with our Lord Jesus Christ. Bless all that you put your hands to do for his service and for his glory. Amen. God bless you.